Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete, and he and I are going to recap a Lakers win over a very good Milwaukee team, despite them not really playing that well. Their shooting, their hot shooting made up for it. And I can't believe the Lakers are so good that they can kind of sleepwalk through a win in Milwaukee and against a Giannis who was very clearly gunning for one of those statement games, especially early. And in this one of the things that I'm really going to focus on with this Lakers team, because it's so easy to kind of nitpick because we know how great they are. You do got to, you know, enjoy, stop and smell the roses with a team this good. And, you know, this is how good they are. It's fantastic to watch them when they really kind of flip that switch. But even when they don't, you can just see how dominant they could possibly be against almost any team's, you know, 102-mile-an-hour fastball. So that's how that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the offense as good as it has looked. We're going to talk about Caruso, and then I'm going to wrap up by making the case that LeBron is MVP. All right, Pete. The Lakers finally gave us, they tried not to for stretches of it, but they gave us a game, a national TV game that you and I can react to positively.
Yeah, that was actually quite a frustrating game. You ever have those days where you're just like, I'm going to be a little mad today. I don't know why, but I just know I'm going to be irritated at everything and everyone. So I'm just in this kind of like generally bad mood. And they just won this game where they were up for the entirety of the second half on the road against a very good team. And I'm like, meh, like I'm like just grumpy Clint Eastwood on his front porch. So forgive me, but 19 of 37 from three will cover for a lot of mistakes that you make in other aspects of the game. So all told, a good win, despite my irritation.
Yeah. I mean, the mood that you're talking about is basically like my constant state of mind. Like it's just kind of where I am online and in my analysis, but yeah, it was funny. They shot so well that's going to be the takeaway, right? That they are now capable of doing that, because for the vast majority of year in my lifetime, that's not how they were built.
Very few get, like, there were some points during the mid 90s, during the Van Exel, Eddie Jones years. And that's when, like, 3-point shooting, like if you made 10 in a game, it was like, yeah, oh my God, this team made 10 threes in a game. It's a totally different game. But in the modern era, we've never really had a team that can win this type of game while like being pretty bad in a lot of aspects. And like AD was bad. Schroeder was awful on both ends of the court.
Yeah, and
we still win a game against a pretty good team, man. It's the shooting's definitely nice to have. And it gives us a foundation that once we are a little more crisp, knock on wood, because I don't think everything's guaranteed. And I do think, Anthony, that this game showed some, it was a testing ground, right? Like what are like the points in the paint that Milwaukee had, right? I think it did show some weaknesses, some strengths in the Lakers, even beyond just the, oh, they hit shots tonight.
Actually, one of the things that I liked the most about this game was how visibly annoyed LeBron was with AD. Like, did you see there was a play where AD took like a catch and shoot mid-range jumper that Brooke Lopez closed out to.
Bro, that whole,
you know which one I'm talking about?
I did. I tweeted out. Now, as an employee of the Lakers, it's important to me to still tell the truth, but I'm not always going to like
remain employed,
call dudes out, right? But I'm sorry for interrupting, just because this pissed me off so much that it compelled me to call him out on Twitter. And it was out of a horn set. So that wasn't the play call, right? You're supposed to throw the ball into the elbow on horns and then you run your set. And AG just turns and shoots over Brooke Lopez. Then what happened next after that, Anthony?
Well, so then noted speedster Brooke Lopez.
Man.
Like, do you think he's the slowest player in the league?
is Mozgov still in the league? You got Taco Fall. That would be a fun one. Who are the slowest players? Mark is not exactly.
But still, we're talking about like the 0.00001 percentile for speed out there. AD is. Is it the first percentile?
I like one better. We're going with one.
But AD is, you know, one of the most athletic bigs in the league, and he gets beat down the court for a dunk. And so it was interesting there because I believe that garnered a timeout shortly thereafter. And you could see like LeBron was annoyed when AD got back there. And then there was another play later in the game where Giannis had the ball at the top of the key and he up faked and AD jumps out of his shoes for it. And LeBron, so Giannis gets his dunk and LeBron, you just disgusted.
Like, where's your focus, man? Why right. are you pumped? Like, just get a hand up, but stay on the ground, contest yeah. it. But, you know,
AD just airballed a 15 footer
like, right.
two plays before.
Yeah, it's just a lack of focus and attention. And that's why so much of what we've talked about so far has been about that those are such core components that if you don't have that, and if you're tired and, you know, and whatever it is, it's harder for me to, because like, I'm sure LeBron's tired. I'm tired, yeah. right? Like none of us
can hear it in my voice. Yeah.
Much of an off season. Right. And you still gotta be able to bring, this is, I think, four straight games where AD didn't score 20 points in a game. Mm. And so, yeah, like I'm still pretty irritated with him. I thought Schroeder didn't play with a ton of force. I thought that Milwaukee illustrated some of our weaknesses as interior defenders. But I also thought that we kind of adjusted to their physicality.
Yeah.
Bunch of different angles to this. But yeah, AD, man, AD not being AD and still winning a game like this. That's the other yeah. thing too, man, is like AD was.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I'm saying it's a positive that LeBron is that clearly upset with him, right? It's a real
sure.
relationship that.
Yeah, there's accountability there. Yeah.
LeBron's saying, dude, I'm having this MVP type game. Like this is a statement game that I'm having here. You are not going to F this up for me. And I loved it. I love seeing yes. that. It's incredible.
To be fair, AD had like 17, 6, and 3, and 2 in mm-hmm. the first quarter in the last game. And LeBron kind of never met.
Yeah.
Like LeBron had the similar type of game the game before. You know what yeah. I mean? And maybe that's what this is. Maybe that's the adjustment of expectations. And the thing is, we have the best record in the NBA. Part of it is us being this incredibly spoiled and having incredibly high expectations. And it's been a minute since I've watched a team that won the title the year before. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is what they're like at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
it's kind of irritating. When's the All-Star break? Okay, March 3rd. That's where
we're almost
that.
There. But
I do think they'll continue to get better. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, I want to get into some of the weeds of the things that I thought the Lakers showed that I'm not sure teams are going to be able to deal with very well.
Yeah, let's be positive. They did win. Sorry, I'm just grumpy.
But again, like it's tough to watch Anthony Davis. Like you and I have had this conversation before, Pete. If you're that talented and on a nationally televised game,
and
you're
versus Giannis, like yes, there's right.
Dude, it started with him getting punked and getting you know, the I don't think it was an and one. I think he committed a foul.
No, it was an and one. He got that and one on the first play of the game. And
yeah,
that's part of it is like those allowing yourself to get physically pushed around.
Yeah.
And it was just like a very, and then the post-ups at the end or the post-ups in the second half were like he'd hold the ball for 10 seconds and then like no shots created, and then we gotta throw up some grenade. Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to take a second though and show that offensively I've been pretty effusive in my praise about this team since it was put together. I don't know how very many teams are going to get stops against the Lakers when they have to. It's such a very well-crafted team, especially for playoff basketball. So I want to talk about that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. Today's game of the day, Lakers are not in action. Did put some money on the Lakers beating Milwaukee. Got positive money on that money line, and I don't think the Lakers are gonna, you know. So basically the way I look at it, you're not gonna get positive money on money lines this year very often for the Lakers, and I you know, if every time I see that I put a couple bucks down. But today's game of the day that I'm looking at here on betonline.ag is the Mavericks favored by only 3 points in San Antonio. That's an interesting one to me. That seems way low. So that's one that I have my eye on. Again, if you're going to want to do it, the Bet Online has the NFL games up and ready for you. NCAA games are on there. You have a ton of options if this is something that you're interested in. My only request and advice is that if you are going to gamble, please do so responsibly. So one more time, that is betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. Let's get back to the show. So basically, especially playoff basketball, when you're trying to score for the things that the team that you're playing against, that the things that they're trying to give up, right, are in rhythm threes that you create, especially coming out of the corners. And then eventually, like when those sets for those kinds of shots break down, or pick and roll sets that can get something go to the basket, they break down. It basically becomes one-on-one scoring. And what we saw in this one, I'm now out of shape because I ran and got water. Good Lord. But,
take a moment. Put your hands under your head.
Yeah, man. I'm sitting here critiquing Anthony Davis not getting back on defense.
You're not trying hard enough.
Like a 20-minute.
That's a long trip to the fridge.
Yeah, 20 minutes. AD,
just not going hard enough.
Could it kill you to run faster than Brooke Lopez? but anyway, so I'm watching down the stretch. And now the Lakers had a couple stretches where they, like you were saying, I thought it took them too long to get into their offense. And I thought that AD was holding the ball in the pinch post a little bit too long. And that was creating some tougher shots or whatever. But when the Lakers were getting into their options quickly enough to where they would go through those options, and then those options didn't work out, and they got the ball to an aggressive one-on-one score when they have to be, you had great looks for Montrezl Harrell. You had Schroeder was getting some things going to the basket, and then eventually, you know, it's, even though he wasn't playing particularly well, it's a nice option to have AD out there as one of the best ISO scorers in the game. And then, oh, by the way, there's that guy, LeBron, who can just step in and just drop sledgehammers whenever he wants.
And Trez, man, I know he's not your favorite guy, but there were a few possessions in the second half where we just gave the ball to Trez and we scored.
It was Chris Webber, like the only salient point that he made all game was like, this is bully ball. They're attacking Connaughton in those pinch post situations. And he stood no chance. So and then you also have KCP shooting out of his freaking mind right now. And Alex Caruso has actually turned into a good spot up 3-point shooter as well. And my thing, Pete, is like, do you see a team in the NBA that when the Lakers, you know, really need to get a bucket, or a team against them really desperately needs to get a stop, that they'll be able to do so consistently? Because I can't.
No, there's really not. The Clippers, I think, have the best chance.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing to personnel that are able to do that. But even then, they don't have the athleticism to match up with us on the interior. They will pose problems for us in different areas. And I do think that the Clippers could beat us in a 7-game series. I think we'd be favored, but I do think that they could win that. But by and large, the ability to get stops against this team, especially, again, this was a very passive Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
This is not. And when you surround those two dominant isolation scorers with the type of 3-point shooting that we have, we're not going to go 19 for 37 every night. And no. Milwaukee's scheme gives up those corner threes. And we had a few of them where KCP got to read the seams on the basketball or someone else. Right. But, but it's also not last year's team either, where there's not going to be too many lineups on the floor where, so for example, Dennis Schroeder, terrible tonight, but if I know you tweeted this and I sort of disagreed with you, like you're open for a reason. Like Dennis Schroeder averaged 19 points a game last season. Like,
I think it was an outlier personally, but yeah.
The 19 like points a game?
His shooting, I think he shot 38% from three-point range.
No, I don't think he's the 38% three-point shooter. I also think that when you leave talented scorers alone,
that's fair. Like
you are going to pay for that eventually. And he's very streaky with his jump shot. That's, I don't know where that eventually lands. Danny Green was like that too, but like Dennis Schroeder is a scorer. He's been a scorer since he came into the league, and leave a guy like that open. Like maybe you get a game where he's just ice cold, like he was today, over the course of a 7-game series, leave a guy like that open and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I meant it more like specifically in this game. Like you could just see it.
Oh, gotcha.
You could see it. His body when he was shooting. Like he was aiming the ball, and It just didn't look very good. Even, you know, he had a couple shots that I haven't really seen him take very often, but like legit pull up jumpers at like the free throw line. He's more of a floater guy. And he was trying to knock down those shots. And even that, like you could see he was holding onto the ball just like a fraction of a second too long.
Yeah. He seemed tentative, right? Like he was like nervous to make the wrong play or something like that. And he's so speed based that he's got to be really aggressive and attacking, and then the ability to stop on a dime and pull it back. And he had a couple of possessions in this game where he at least collapsed the defense, but by and large, he was just way too tentative in this game.
Yeah, I thought one of the better adjustments that the Lakers made from first half to second was Alex Caruso being more involved or involved at all.
Dude, he didn't come into the game until like 8:05 in the second quarter.
Right.
I don't understand why Caruso is in a like 25, 30 minute. I think part of it is, Anthony, is that like Vogel knows what he has to some extent with Caruso, with KCP. And this is the part of the season to let Dennis Schroeder play through a bad game.
Yeah.
And he played 32 minutes, I think it was. If this is a playoff series, I don't think Dennis Schroeder plays 32 minutes tonight because I think he's got, right. But yeah, the incorporation of Alex Caruso, like Alex Caruso is really good. And we almost always play a lot better when he's in the game because of the things that he does. So I would love, Yeah, he helped change the game in the second half.
I'm looking at it. So LeBron was fantastic. So he was the game leader in plus minus at plus 15. And then you had Caruso kind of lies to us there with the plus four. I thought every time he was on the court, the Lakers just looked significantly better. And there was a stretch there in the fourth quarter where he sat down for like 3 minutes or so. And in those 3 minutes, an 8-point lead or a 9-point lead turned into a 2-point lead. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back in there and they wind up winning by seven. So, I mean, it just feels like the kind of thing we're going to be talking about for a long time, so long as he's on the roster and still doesn't have like the political sway in the locker room compared to like Wesley Matthews came off the bench before him tonight. He's not going to have the same sway as Dennis Schroeder, but This is now becoming a running joke almost on anybody who pays attention to this team. It's like this guy just does the right things to win basketball games. I want to take another quick second here when we come back. There was some stuff defensively that I thought the Lakers did. They showed that they were capable of adjusting, and I enjoyed watching that. And then they were forced to adjust again because the refs just stopped calling charges. So I want to talk about that here to wrap things up. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So the Lakers, it seemed like they were caught off guard by how physically imposing the Bucks were starting that game.
I thought so too. Yeah,
they were back on their heels quite a bit. And usually when you see that happen, I think it helps that they were shooting the ball well enough to keep them in it. Usually when you get punched in the mouth by a team as good as Milwaukee and you fall that far backwards,
yeah,
it's a lot hard to try to. Yeah, mm-hmm. But they were able to stick things out, and because they shot the ball well enough to kind of hang around a little bit, I thought they did a much better job of, if not like punching back, adjusting to it, saying, okay, if you're going to force the issue and just try to plow in here every play, we have guys who are capable and really good at, and Montrezl Harrell and Caruso, at taking those charges. And eventually Giannis fouled out. I thought he could have fouled out like in the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. I likened it to, you watch a baseball game sometimes and the strike zone at the end of the game isn't the same that it was at the beginning of the game. And that's where hitters get the most frustrated, because they're saying, I'm here asked to hit this 95, 97 mile an hour fastball that is moving, you know, laterally and all these other things too, because of how great these pitchers are. And I don't know what's going to be a strike in the ninth inning compared to the first.
Right.
And it felt like that with the charge call. Now, I don't even like the charge call personally, but if it does exist, you got to call it the same way, you know, in the third quarter, or even when Giannis picks up his third or fourth foul, you got to try to keep it somewhat consistent. And, but still, the adjustment that the Lakers made in the first place of taking those charges and using the aggression against Milwaukee, I thought was a big tone setter and really kind of pulling away.
Yeah, we're at our best when we're beating teams to the spot, right? Like jumping passing lanes, and it's that old free safety, jumping the slant route to get the interception. We've got a lot of guys who can do that. With LeBron's great at this, AC's great at this, KCP, AD, Trez is really good at beating guys to the spot. Trez's defense has been interesting to learn watching him on a daily basis. It's one thing to watch a guy on tape, but it's another to like watch every play of every game and then watch it again. And Trez, when he knows where he's supposed to be going, is actually really good. That's why he's amongst the league leaders in charges taken. He can also react slower than other players can, right? Like his reaction time can be a little on the slow side, but I loved his game tonight. And he was one of those guys that beats guys to the spot. And that was instead of letting guys go through us, we were being a little more sturdy at the point of attack as the game went on. And we weren't as struck by, because like, bro, there was like Drew Holiday was backing down Markieff Morris. And like Keith is a strong SOB, you know, like, there's no reason that guys should be going through Keith's chest the way that they have,
especially
been
smaller guys.
Right. And we've got a couple of guys that let do that. And it's something that KCP's weak at. Schroeder lost a couple battles, and that's going to happen at Schroeder's size. Mm-hmm. But the, just being sturdier at the point of attack, and then when knowing player tendencies and rotating to that spot, you know, beating them to the spot, but also getting those hands out. We got a lot of guys with great wingspans, and, you know, make the passing lanes out to the 3-point line more difficult. Then the next step of that process is closing out to the 3-point shooter, which we're very good at. So that, like, every time that we're locked in, we're fast on defense.
Yeah.
We're not vertical the way that we were last year, but we will zip all over the court when we're really good. And we did a much better job of that in the second half, especially, and the end of that first.
Yep. Last thing before we go here, I don't know. There's great basketball being played all throughout the league, right? It's a super talented league.
Yeah, it's been better recently too. Yeah.
But LeBron's the MVP thus far.
He
had the down game in the game prior to this, and it was annoying and all that stuff. But the Lakers have the best record in the NBA. They're far and away the best team in the NBA, and he's the reason for it. Like, he's the reason for it. And like, I don't, people are going to make cases for other guys across the league, and there are cases to be made. But if I had a vote, he gets it. And I don't really know, like, he's getting this in a very sustainable way. Like, I actually think he can maintain this style of play. He's playing fewer minutes. He did play 38 in this one.
So did AD,
Which is more than he's played all season, but he's playing at these lower minutes, but they're hyper efficient minutes. You have to reward the best player on far and away the best team. This isn't like last year where the Lakers were better than Milwaukee and the Clippers, or last year, even with the Lakers, at the end of the year, right, where people were saying, you know, that there's no argument for Giannis I think the Lakers are a lot better this year than the Bucks were, better than the Lakers last year. And I'm obviously biased, and I'm going to acknowledge my biases here, but it has to be LeBron if he can keep this up.
Yeah, especially with AD underperforming so far. He's obviously, AD's had some good games, but this hasn't been a great stretch. Especially, one of the things about the fast turnaround is, like, I remember AD's playoff run and just like my jaw on the ground.
What that looked like, yeah.
And that's part of why I'm like, I know on some level I'm just a spoiled brat that wants my birthday cake right now, right? But it makes LeBron, like, Anthony Davis at 27 years old, having difficulty getting closer to the fully realized version of himself, having more difficulty than LeBron is at 36.
Yeah.
Getting to that fully. And it speaks to how much LeBron's game is mental, and that, and how he's kind of mastered certain elements of the game that not only Anthony Davis hasn't mastered, but very few, if almost nobody, like, being an MVP candidate in your 18th season.
It's bonkers. It's Kareem, and it's almost nobody else.
No, man, Kareem, I'm just old enough to remember Kareem's last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And Kareem was a role, like Tim Duncan.
Well, he's the closest person to it. Like, there's
sure. Yeah, Karl Malone had. And what was Kobe's great year, the year he tore his Achilles? Was that his 17th year or his 18th year?
I think it was his 17th.
Yeah.
Because that was 05, right? Or was that? No.
No, no, no. That was 2012, 2013. With White. Yeah. And yeah.
So it would have been his like 17th heading into his 18th year, I think.
I think that was his 17th season. And yeah. But either way, that's the closest to, like, oh, this is, you know, and Kobe was probably a top three guy in the NBA that season at worst. Yeah. And at least in the conversation, whereas I agree with you, LeBron's the front runner here. And so part of it is, like, how does he do it, right? It's not just talent. It's that LeBron has mastered so many different elements of the game. And part of that are things like rest and rehabilitation and all of these things that you and I will never really understand, because we don't go directly after the game ends into an ice bath and then to Mike Mencius to do whatever they do. We don't know what those drills are, what those routines are. So all I can do is appreciate it. And so the juxtaposition of seeing a 27-year-old Anthony Davis not be able to get to the best version of himself while watching LeBron get to, at least, this isn't the best version of LeBron, but it's still like MVP caliber version of a player, just speaks to his level of greatness. And we're really, really lucky to have him.
Yeah, I think all I would add to that is that, like, not only has he mastered so many facets of the game and the game outside the game as well, but he also knows that he's mastered those things. So, like, on any given night, so on this one, he knew early that he had his shot going. Like, this was some of the best his shot has looked since he's
great
come
all
to
year.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. But in this one, like, he had like, I would say 5 or 6 threes that as soon as he released it, he knew that was a
bottom. And he's like coming off screens. It's not just the whole like dribble against a big on a switch and look down and like pull it back to his left, and you know that movie does, right? Uh-huh. Like, he's like coming off screens and letting it fly. I'm like, okay, LeBron, you
the
know?
Dagger he hit was like, it had, I mean, he was forced into that shot, which kind of, you know, Stu Lance would say kind of helps the shot, but it was also basically a step back 33-34 footer,
and that shit was wet, man.
He knew it. He knew it. You know, the thing that I always look for is, after the ball goes through the net, what does that first bounce look like? So does it bounce directly back at the shooter?
Right.
And he's had the most shots that bounce directly back at him than I've seen him ever, you know. And that's the thing, though, is that he's kind of recognized, at least for now, that he's shooting the ball well enough. And I got to use this as my own weapon. And you saw him, like, for stretches of the game, they were going under, or they were in deep, deep drop coverage. And he was just like, I mean, okay, I guess I'll take this. And
good luck with that.
So yeah, it's not just for me that he's so great at all of these things. He knows that he's great at those things and knows how to tailor what he needs to in any specific game. And this was, I thought, as good an example of that as you're going to see.
Absolutely, man. Fun game. And we got Philly on Saturday. That'll be a fun one too.
Absolutely. Please, AD, just try. Like, just don't get beat down the court by Brooke Lopez. Like, can we? I'm going to set that as my low bar. Like, that's all, like, I'm asking for.
It's like following the Trump presidency, you know?
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, the Lakers get a good win. I'm not going to call it necessarily fun for all of it because there were stretches that were annoying, but a good one nonetheless that they could, you know, kind of diddle daddle with other parts of their game and still be able to get a win against like a top two or three final contender in their building. So shouts to the Lakers for that. So one more time, 113-106. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Want to send a shout out to you guys. Again, the outpouring of support since that show and since this week's shows. Really blown away by it. Just kind of getting through it, you know. Sometimes you go through those stretches, but Jen and I talked, and I'm going to make some major changes to my life and come out this stronger. So again, though, I'm just deeply, deeply grateful for all of you guys and all the kind words. Till on Monday, though, I will make sure you guys have a great weekend. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you then.